is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 411, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that of course gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. Just excited to be here tonight. Happy it's Wednesday and podcasting. Yeah. Do a little gaming, right?
Ryan was a little depressed before.
No, I was. Whatever.
Yeah, is everything okay? Do you want to talk about it? You want to talk about it with everybody?
Perfectly fine, thank you.
I just want to make sure. I want to make sure everything's okay. I wasn't a little depressed. I was a little disappointed. I broke my tripod this week.
Oh, I saw that picture.
Yeah, so I posted it on Twitter or X.
That thing has
been a workhorse. That thing has been. Mm-hmm. I've had that for.
I feel like 5 or 6 years, probably.
Like at least, yeah. Like I'm thinking like 7 to 10 years. I've had that. Really? I've had it for a long time.
I thought you just got it at when I first started working for you, like my first CES. Maybe not.
Well, I brought it to Hawaii, my first trip to Hawaii, and that was in 2016. And I had it before that previously as well. So, between 6 and 10 years, I've had that tripod, but I was just like unscrewing it and it just came apart. And I'm like, oh, I just put the leg back in, but it just wouldn't lock anymore.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, man. I had finished the actual video for the case that we're going to talk about today, the Fractal Design Mood. But then I was shooting the short form content, and luckily most of the B-roll for that short form content was all on the slider that I have. So I didn't necessarily need the tripod, but it was just disappointing. But I have a new tripod. It showed up today.
I was going to say, do they still make the one you had, or did you go with something new?
I wanted to try something new. There were certain things about that tripod that, like, over time, I was not a fan of. So I want to try something new. Gotcha. So, yeah, new tripod. We'll see how I like it. That's, like, one of the things. If you're shooting content or making content, your tripod, like, all of your microphones, it's, like, your day-to-day. That stuff goes through everything. You kill those things. So I feel pretty happy that it lasted that long, but it was coming down to the end. Like there were like little things that were just like going wrong with it over time. So yeah, but I wouldn't call it depression moment. That was just my disappointed moment for the week, but this week's been good. There's a lot of interesting news tech stuff. Got to check out that new case from Fractal Design. So lots to talk about this week. Some other interesting stories and one gaming story that definitely gives me the feels for sure that we'll talk about as well. So if you guys are listening live and you want to follow along, or if you're listening or watching later, we do have our full show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week with all of the articles, everything. So if you want to click through with us, it's all right here. Or if you hear something or see something that we're talking about and you want more information, all the links to everything that we're going to be talking about are going to be right here in the show notes. So we'll start out with the case from Fractal Design. So they launched a new case that they showed at Computex. I had it for about 2 weeks before Computex. So I've had this case for a while. And did of course a full build in it, and it's a little bit of a different case. So it's called Mood. And I think that Fractal has like really come up with these case names that are just like a single name, which I kind of like, because like there's some companies that it's like it's the TG-RGB and it's like such a long product name. But yeah, so Mood is a mini ITX case. And we do have the video too. So we have a full on video on the YouTube page if you want to check it out as well. And our written review. So however you guys like to consume the content, we have both there. And I have to say that this case looks like a speaker. I mean, this is your first time really seeing it, Ryan. Like, what do you think as far as the design goes?
It's okay. It just reminds me so much of like a speaker.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Right? Yeah, it's like a speaker.
Yeah, exactly. It's okay. I've never really been we've seen a couple other cases. I think Inwin had a case that had like the mesh cloth material around.
Yeah.
Similar. I don't know that I'm a big fan of it, but it doesn't bother me. It's just not my style. I think it's still a neat design, just not something I would personally choose.
Gotcha. Yeah. So like Ryan said, and like I said, it looks like a speaker. It's sort of shaped like a mini tower speaker as well. They've wrapped the outside in this dual layer mesh, which again gives it that look, because most of these speakers that you remember having in your, you know, your parents had or something like that, they had like the mesh cover on it. So it definitely gives it that look. It is small. It is right here. If you guys can see behind me, it's right here. It's not that big. And that's the monitor is a 24 inch monitor. So that gives you an idea of the size. But yeah, like I said, it's definitely a small case for mini ITX builds. On the front, you have your standard connection. So we have a power button here, two USB 3.0 type A ports and a USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 type C, which I love to see. And you have your combo audio jack there. It sits on a little stand, as you can see from the bottom. All three of the main sides are going to be this mesh, and then the back is just like a normal panel that is highly ventilated with these big holes that you can see there, and of course Fractal Design logo on the back. Now we have the black version of the case. It will come in a light gray, which I actually think looks better than the black, but they sent us the black. So at the top is also all ventilated here, and we have a large 180 millimeter fan. This is the only fan that does come with the case. You do have room to add more fans, but that is the only fan that comes with the case. And like I said, this is mini ITX, and all of your cables do get routed out the bottom of the case. So here's where your motherboard would go, and your graphics card right here as well. So everything comes out the bottom and then goes out the back, which again, I'll show you, but and it only weighs like 10 pounds without anything installed. So it is decently light as well. Getting in this is extremely easy. So the back panel pulls off, and then you have a magnetic filter here. You can run the case without the filter if you wanted to for better cooling performance. And then once you're inside, there's two screws. There's one here, you remove those. And then the top of the rest of the outer shell of the case sort of lifts up, and it almost feels like it's on a track, but it's not. I've reviewed mini ITX cases that are this sort of same tower like design, and they do have that triple, sided piece that you have to remove, and it's always been really hard to like line up the sides and they don't go in correctly. Yeah. This again just feels like it's on a track, so if you're taking it off or you're putting it back on, it's incredibly easy to get it on and off, and there's really really no issues that I've like I said found, especially considering other cases that I've used that have issues when it comes to putting the panels back on. So really easy to remove everything. And then once we're inside, this is sort of a two-sided case. One side is going to house your graphics card. So that's this side. It has a PCIe riser on it. So, you know, it's going to come from, you know, your riser is going to come from the other side. And then you have your riser here. Now this will support 2.75 slot graphics cards up to 325 millimeters. And a lot of people, especially on our video, commented that this isn't big enough. If you're going for like a 4090, it's definitely not going to be big enough. There's not many 4090s that are I don't think there's any, unless it's like fully water cooled, that are 2.75 slot. They're all at least three slot. I was able to install a RTX 4070 Ti Super in here without any issues. But when it gets into like the 4080, 4080 Super, 4090, there are limitations. This case is only going to fit certain cards. So definitely something to keep in mind, you know. And then on the other side, the first thing you find is this bracket right here. And this bracket is a cooling bracket, but it also houses a hard drive cage. So this hard drive cage will support either a 2.5 inch SSD or a full size 3.5 inch hard drive. You can see, you know, that cage there. Now there is a caveat to this because if you make use of the cage, that limits your cooling options, because this is where a fan would go. So this whole piece comes off, and you can see where you would install fans or a radiator. You can do 2 120 or 2 140 millimeter fans or radiators up to 280 millimeters. And because it's fully removable, but it's sort of on this bracket. So if you are doing an AIO, it would be really easy to mount everything and then just kind of put it back into place. So I definitely like that design as far as like making things very easy. And then with that bracket removed behind there, we have where your motherboard's going to go, which is down here, supports mini ITX. And then your power supply is going to go up here, and it's going to be SFX or SFXL power supplies. And they've routed a power supply extension cable, because everything is going to go out the bottom of the case. So it's all routed there for you. So you can see the power supply extension. And then everything kind of gets routed down. Now, there are two more optional hard drive mounts that you can mount. So I didn't put them in here, but one is on the side right here that you can mount another 2.5-inch SSD. And then if you remove the top fan, you can also you remove the fan and put the mount in and put the fan back on, and you can install another 2.5-inch SSD. So in total, this actually supports three hard drives out of the box. If you remove the cage, it will only support two. But for such a small case, I think that's a lot, especially considering a lot of people are going NVMe now these days, you know, on everything. So the fan is a big fan. It's, like I said, 180 millimeters, and it's, I believe, 38 millimeters thick. So it's a thicker fan. It's a big fan. But it is the only cooling that comes out of the box. So I would suggest, if you're running this, to run more fans at least, or an AIO if that's the way you want to go. Now, installation in this, I always say yes to mini ITX cases, and then I dread doing the install.
You hate building in them.
because it's just, your hands are so crunched in there, and then you got to get to all the connections. This was incredibly easy to build in. You kind of just put it on your side, on its side, and then with all the panels removed, you actually have a lot of room to work with. Super easy to get everything installed, you know, wiring everything up. Like you install your motherboard, and then you connect everything to your motherboard, because it's going to be harder to access once you install your power supply. The one thing that I did notice is that it does not have the standard header connector that a lot of cases have, especially a lot of mini ITX cases have. It's just like a single connector that goes right into your motherboard headers. It's kind of hard to see, but it's right here. It just uses single header connections. So I actually had to look up what went where on, like, I had to go online, find the manual for this motherboard, and then see where each thing went. I just wish they would have had the standard connector. That is, it would just save you time, and it's a lot easier. So SFX power supply goes in no problem. And then you can see that's how they've routed the power cable. I just used the normal hard drive cage that's in there, installed a 2.5-inch SSD, put it back in the case, and closed everything up. And then for our graphics card, same thing, just slots in, no problem. Like I said, this is our RTX 4070 Ti Super from Gigabyte. Went in there, no problem. And then this is what the completed build looks like before we put the panels back on. So everything's out of the way. You know, and it's super simple to build in. The installation took me maybe 20 minutes, like not all that long. You can see what the sides look like. Again, that dual chamber sort of design with the main chamber here and your graphics card on that side, and what it looks like from the sides. Not a ton of room necessarily to hide cables. Obviously, if you're doing a build like this, I would highly suggest a modular SFX or SFXL power supply. But there are tie downs, and they do include a bunch of Velcro ties to tie everything down. So really, like I said, really easy to kind of to build in, which I'm definitely a big fan of. And this is what it looks like turned on. If you're not using the cooling brackets, you will be able to see through to see, you know, if you have RGB on your motherboard. We have some on our memory here, so you can see that through. And on the backside, if you have lighting on your graphics card, you'll be able to see that as well. This is what it looks like sitting on my desk that I actually, that's right over here. And just to give you an idea of the size. So, you know, I think this is going to be, this is going to be like a solid case for somebody who may have a smaller desk and they don't necessarily want a mid tower or a full tower. This gives you the ability to have something smaller and it looks kind of aesthetically pleasing as well. Sitting there on the desk. So, and then like I said, everything routes at the back. So there's no like cable mess coming off of this or anything like that. It's just, it all routes at the back really easily. And then when it comes to temperatures, this is obviously going to depend on what you install inside. If you have a, like a 14900K, it's going to be definitely hot. I would suggest to anybody who's building in this, at least if you're doing an air cold build, then add in those two fans that you, if you have, if you're doing an AIO, definitely get a 240 or 280 to put in there, help everything out. But it's not bad. And again, that outer fabric does give you some airflow. Obviously it's not as good as like a really fine mesh would be, but it does allow the case to sort of breathe. So, I think overall it's a good case and it's functional. I know, again, a lot of people are complaining about graphics card support. Everybody wants this to support something like a 4090. And you have to remember, too, a lot of the higher-end cards, even down to the 4070 range, like the Strixes and all of those super high-end cards, are like three slot when it comes to the 40 series. So it does eliminate some of the graphics cards that you can support. Obviously, you know the specifications of what card can fit in there. So if you're doing a new build, it won't be as big of a deal. But if you were, say, somebody running a larger system and wanted to kind of move down to this, you have to have considerations for what graphics card's going to fit in there. But I like I said, I liked it. I think that it looks good. It's easy to build in. For me, it would support what I wanted. And obviously, like I said, if you're doing a new build, you can pick the graphics card that you want. You're not going to fit a 4090 in here. It's just not feasible. But you can fit. There might be some 4080s. I don't know. But the big, like I said, the Strix cards and the ones that are thicker aren't going to fit in here either. And the only other thing that I didn't like about it was not having the standard connector for your headers on your motherboard that a lot of other mini ITX cases have. But overall, I liked it. It's going to sell for $149.99 in both colors. I gave it a 9 out of 10 and a recommended award because it's not often I find a mini ITX case for me that's easy to build in and that I would consider using as a 24/7 build or system. And this is one that I would. It would, like I said, it just, you know, it looks awesome on the desk. And it takes up minimal space, which I think a lot of people like. And you can really build a decently high-end system to play games, to be your daily driver in a case like this. So definitely check out. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I do agree, like, with other people, you know, the commenters and things, like, you could have made this fit three slot graphics cards without making it much bigger, right? It would have added a little depth to the case. Yeah. And
that's what I was thinking when I saw those comments. I was like, yeah, you guys are definitely right. And what's Fractal Design been doing the past couple of years? There's a XL. So
iterations,
maybe I could see them doing an XL version that would fit up to four slot, three, you know, graphics cards.
Sure.
And I could also see them doing a mini version. Yeah,
support those new
to support the new NVIDIA SFF standard as well. It kind of opens it up. This would be the mid-range version, I guess. Good point. So yeah, like I said, I like it. It's not overly expensive. And like I said, it's really easy to build it. And that's one of the biggest things that I look for personally when it comes to small form factor cases, mini ITX cases, because I've had some nightmare builds that I was so happy that I was done with the build after I was done with it. Check out the review. And like I said, we do have the video as well on our YouTube. If you want to check that out, if you just want to watch the video, you guys can go ahead and do that as well. Good case there from Fractal Design. And talk about things that are small and cool and awesome. When we're going to move on to Case Mod Friday, and this build this week is awesome. This one is from Mark's Fabrication. This was at the Clev booth at Computex. Like I said, Clev had like some of the best builds at Computex, I think. And this is called Sentinel Cipher. It's sort of like it looks like a terminal, like in a futuristic sort of post-apocalyptic world in some sorts. I'll just go through the pictures.
I feel like you would have seen it in like either a Half-Life or a Doom scenario, right? It's just like beat up or like a moon base or something. And it's just like this utilitarian workstation.
In the attention to detail. Awesome. And I did realize that the Asus ROG Azog.
I was curious if you noticed that.
Yeah, he's as I knocked everything over here, he's using that same keyboard, and it's cool to see what he did to it. As you can see, all the, like I said, attention to detail here. There's of course the Clev memory that he also made look sort of rusted out and all that. And this is kind of what the main build sort of looks like. It's super cool, super super cool.
This could be like a movie prop, you know?
Yeah, and even the mouse is all done up and everything, and the screen's in there. And this is some pictures from Computex of that screen part actually opens up and then reveals the inside. So Asus graphics card, EK water cooling, mini ITX inside.
It's got the pneumatics to keep it open there, you know, kind of like a hatch. Yeah, this thing is awesome. I love it.
Yeah. There's the memory. And then what's one thing that's cool, you can see this little stick. This is actually an M.2, a Clev M.2, but he has a USB to M.2. So it's actually sticking in the USB right here. It's incredible.
I was curious if that's what that was.
Yeah. So it's a USB M.2 adapter. And then he put that, it's like I said, super, super cool. And you can see the, like how he added the dirt and everything to the keyboard. There's that M.2. Just that, like I said, the attention to detail on this is absolutely amazing.
The cabling, you know, the wires and stuff going around the side, the cooling ports and everything for the fans. Yeah, this thing's just badass.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just awesome. You can kind of see, just like I said, the attention to detail on this is really, really cool. So yeah, definitely check this one out. Like I said, Clev, if you guys don't know, Clev is like a memory brand. They make SSDs, they make memory and stuff like that. They're not as well known, but they have some really good stuff. And their booth at Computex had like some amazing builds. And also, this isn't Mark's Fabrication. I don't think I changed it in the article, but it's actually AK Mod. That's my bad. You can see the AK Mod logo right there. He's the builder. This is one of his builds. So, really, just really awesome. It's like I said, there's the keyboard, which if you look at this and then you see this keyboard, it's like completely
changed. They had a shot of like the screen and the little, the knob that's next to it.
Yeah. Let's see if
in there that looked. I was surprised they just left like the ROG logo on it, I thought. But they did change the color of the switch, how it's orange.
Yeah.
I loved that attention to detail there, like you said.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. Just to see, just amazing. So, shout out to AK Mod for this one, because it's awesome. Like Brian said, it could be a movie prop.
Yeah,
I'm surprised that he doesn't make Blade Runner movies or something, because the quality, attention to detail is absolutely just like amazing in there. So yeah, definitely check this one out. Worth 5 minutes of your time to check it out. And he does have the video as well, going through it and all that. So if you're interested, all of that is in the article if you want to check it out. So really, really cool stuff, in my opinion. We'll move on to news. Not a ton of news, but some really, really interesting stories this week. First one is from NVIDIA. They became the most valuable public company in the world.
It's wild.
And they have been growing steadily for a while. You can see, you know, as they rank 3.336 trillion market cap as since we posted this article. Yeah, bigger than Microsoft, bigger than Apple, bigger than Google, Amazon, Facebook, TSMC, you know. Any thoughts?
I mean, it doesn't surprise me, like, especially this last year or year and a half with all the AI, you know, advancements and everybody going in on that. It didn't surprise me that they've got, and they'll have more growth along the way, right? Like, a year from now, could they be the first to be like a $4 trillion company? Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, with the explosion of AI, that's where this tremendous. I mean, if you look at the graph, like the tremendous
growth. Right. What was that price like even 30 days ago? Right?
Oh yeah, I mean, I know people that had invested, you know, 60 days ago, and they're already reaping the benefits. And, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. And if you think about it, everything is at. We talked about this for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Everything is adding AI, right? And what's powering all that, all the AI, is NVIDIA-based GPUs for the most part. I mean, there are other companies coming in, and you might not see as much tremendous growth like this, but NVIDIA is going to be one of the top companies supplying these data centers, you know. So I'm not a financial advisor. You have to say that. It would be a good bet to invest in NVIDIA over the next year. It just makes sense. But yeah, it's cool to see. We've talked about this too on the podcast, as far as like, obviously enterprise, data center, AI, all of that stuff is so much bigger than the gaming market. And of course, all of us, we know NVIDIA for their gaming graphics cards. And we always talk about, will NVIDIA just not care anymore about the gamer, right? Because it's not part of their, I don't know what.
It's not their moneymaker anymore.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, and they could just put out incremental stuff, sort of like how like Intel was just like, we're keeping everybody at 4 cores for forever, and we're gonna have these little incremental upgrades, and we'll charge you a lot of money for these incremental upgrades. And you saw what happened when AMD came in with Ryzen and adding more cores and doing all this stuff. It's like, will NVIDIA just slowly, you know, as more people, you know, engineers or whoever are going over to the AI side of things and all their other businesses, like, will the gaming go away, or will they always keep that as something that's important? Because I think too, in the gaming space, like, you can't, they've always done a really good job with, as far as like the next generation. I mean, if you look at the 3090 compared to the 4090, it was like blew it out of the park, right? As far as performance, I mean, it was an expensive card, no doubt. But so do you think, as NVIDIA grows and gets bigger and bigger and bigger, will they still care about the gamer in the end?
Yeah, I think so. But we may see a shift where they like focus, you know, towards the AI workspace and advancements there. And they may see enough growth and performance increase that they can somehow take that technology and turn it back towards gaming, as, you know, and move away from your traditional graphics horsepower and just use the horsepower of their AI advancements to just like exponentially make your games. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they may advance enough in that they can just apply to gaming with less effort. And
we're already seeing it, right? We're already seeing some of the stuff,
DLSS that they showed, and things like that, right?
Yeah. More software based stuff. So yeah, it's really interesting. It's great to see. I think it's cool I guess Apple's a hardware company, but, you know, Microsoft has always been at the top, Google, Amazon, Meta, this is the Saudi, that's the oil. So that's always been up there. TSMC, you know, but it's cool to see NVIDIA at the top, obviously. But yeah, we'll see what happens over the next couple of years. But like I said, not a financial advisor, but I would guess with everybody adding AI or anything which requires data centers and more people, more companies pushing stuff out to ChatGPT, which again requires ChatGPT to have data centers to do all this, you know, there's just going to be more and more of these data centers popping up with likely NVIDIA hardware. So I'd keep that in mind. It's never a bad thing to invest in, I'd say. But yeah, really, like I said, really cool, really interesting. And they have exploded over the past 60, 90 days for sure. So yeah, pretty interesting. Talking about AI, of course, AMD talked about their AI 300 chip as well as Ryzen 9000 series at Computex. It looks like the release dates were put out by accident on purpose, it seems.
I know, all the time.
Yeah, so for the AI chip, you can see the graphic here for the Asus ZenBook S16 that has the AI chip. It says release date 7/15/24. So that should be when that comes out. So for laptop, the Ryzen AI 300, July 15th, 2024. And then for desktop, everybody who's looking for the next generation, maybe you're on third, like Ryzen 3000, you're waiting for Ryzen 9000 desktop parts, July 31st, 2024. Again, it was, you know, pre-order starts 9 a.m. July 31st. So you should be able to pre-order and get it then. And we talked about Ryzen 9000 series. It just seems like, again, I mean, we're getting these incremental updates and it's all good and everything like that. But we're not, I guess I'm more excited for the motherboards. And I've always said that when it comes to CPU launches, I think the motherboards are, you get to see all the newer technologies and things like that. Are you excited for any of like the, even not just the Ryzen AI chips, but like the Microsoft AI chips, any of the other AI stuff that's being added that runs the models locally, so you're not pushing your data out to ChatGPT or anything like that?
I'm just curious, like, how much, like, where does that model live on the machine, right? I haven't looked into this at all, so it may be simpler than this, but it's like, you know, where does all of that data for that AI tool exist? Does it take up space on your drive? Is it is there storage on the board somewhere? You know, like I assume it's
that model, whatever model, like Microsoft Copilot model, or whatever, what do they call it? Copilot Plus or whatever. Yeah.
Copilot.
That's gonna consistently being updated, so it has to be part of the operating.
It's gotta be somewhere, yeah.
Yeah. So Nanda Builds asks, what's the best use case for laptops such as this? I mean, these AI laptops, you know, they're just, this is what it's good. I think almost every company is going to have the AI laptop. So, you know, we're talking about this is the Asus ZenBook. Most of the mid-range to high-end laptops will now have this AI chip that will be able to run the models. So it's just going to give you the ability to do things within the operating system with AI. Copilot Plus is going to be a big thing. And then all the major software companies will have something that's, you know, Adobe and all the apps that you use will have things that will be done with AI. Say like with Adobe, instead of sending something out to the cloud to do a generative fill, you can do it on your computer now. Instead of, you know, you can just simply ask questions to your computer and it should answer you without now having to go out to the cloud necessarily.
Right. Yeah. Depending on what that is that you're.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily like this is a laptop for you as an AI developer to do anything. It's you as a general consumer. Now these, instead of, again, going out to ChatGPT or doing anything else, it's all done locally, which is better for security reasons. And we sure talked about Copilot Plus, how you can essentially ask your computer, what was I doing Wednesday, August 16th? And like it, you can turn this feature off, which I think a lot of people will, myself included. But it will have like a snapshot of what you did, not just like history, but like I have a snapshot and you can do all of this stuff. Just adding more I guess, ease of use to your experience. And then when all of the software companies, including Microsoft, like Microsoft, where all the Microsoft apps will have some sort of AI features built in, which are run locally. I think that kind of sums up what this all, like all these new AI laptops and all these other AI things are, they're not for doing any. I think a lot of people could be confused by that too. They're like, oh, I can develop AI things on this laptop. It's well, not necessarily that,
I still feel like it's not clear. Like it is, they have not been doing a good job because it's like, it's such a buzzword that they're just like, we've got to get something out there, but nobody's, in my opinion, it's almost like the 3D TVs. It's like nobody's asking for it. It's just being put out, in my opinion, right? Like there are some use cases.
We were shown a little bit of this back at CES in January, as where like if you're like, I need to change the background on my computer, like you could just ask, you could type in and ask your computer, and locally it will bring back how to do it.
But when we have that, it's like, you just hit start and type background, and it's already there in Windows. You know what I mean? It's like, I didn't even have to go there. I don't know. I'm not sold on it yet by any means.
Yeah, I think for a lot of things, it's not, you know. Yeah, it's like you said, it's the buzzword. It's what everybody's talking about. Obviously, it's going to be a cash cow for whoever are making these co-processor chips. AMD, Intel, Qualcomm, Microsoft, you know, all the companies that are making these co-processors that are the AI chips, it's a cash grab too. But there are some great applications that you could use it for. It's just, it's going to be on pretty much every, I would say, mainstream to high-end laptop is going to have that mobile chip that's going to be able to do it. So yeah. Well, like I said, interesting stuff. We'll see how it kind of plays out, I guess. On the graphics card side of things, last week, XFX, they teased their new line of graphics cards called Magnetic Air, and then they officially made them official, going to be available on June 18th. And basically, the fans are magnetic, so you can easily pull them off to clean, which I do like. I think they're making it something bigger than necessarily what it is. It is a little late in the release cycle for these cards because these are a 7800 XT and a 7900 XTX. So here's the 7800 XT in the whites, and then here's the 7800 XT in the black, so white and black versions. And if you look at this video, you can see how like they're showing the, you know,
and I guess
how you can pop the fans in and out. I think if anything, it would be cool to get like different fan colors so you could kind of change the design if you wanted, or like maybe there's like, comes with the normal fans, you could like upgrade to arch. I just don't see this as like a,
no, nobody's doing that with their fans. Nobody wants to do that with their fans, like, other than ease of cleaning it.
Ease of cleaning it, I think, is the biggest thing. But like when you're buying a graphics card, like you see what it looks like. You're not like, oh, it has these fans. So, but maybe I want to change them later. Like nobody's really thinking that. I've never thought that in my life.
No. I mean, yeah, I don't know. If there was, I mean, they're magnetic, so there's some benefit to like noise. If the fan itself creates less noise, not necessarily the blades, right? Because you're gonna have that airflow sound, but if it's, you know, how it spins that up is a little quieter and, you know, a little more efficient, right, without a moving part there.
Who knows? Two things. So old man in the chat, when we were talking about Microsoft, they will switch off recall by default. That's where it takes a picture of like everything you're doing. Yeah. So that's really good on the AI side of things. And then I keep on wanting to say nano builds, but it's Nanda builds. They said cleaning, replacing if they go bad. Yeah, that's good. Like for repairing a graphics card. But I mean, to be honest, unless I'm like, you know, Bitcoin mining or something, like I've rarely, I think I've had one graphics card in my entire lifetime of reviewing graphics cards and using graphics cards. I've only had one graphics card where one of the fans went bad. And that's since 2000, I mean, even before.
Yeah, that, like how many cards and years
has it
been? So to only have one.
Yeah. I like the idea. I like the idea of being able to pull them out and clean them instead of having to pull the entire card out of your system to clean. Right. I like that.
Wiping off the blades real easy.
But he also asked, like, do they sell them individually? I have no clue. I would assume they would. It kind of it would make sense. But how many different color variations? Is there going to be an RGB? Like, you would hope that there would be an RGB variation.
That's going to be built into the frame.
Yeah. Or at least the connector has to be built into the... Yeah. Because it's all magnetic. So, I don't know. Yeah, like I said, I think it's cool, but and I like it for repairing and I like it for maintenance. I just don't see it really becoming a big thing. And again, what we've seen is like fans that aren't, I don't, how efficient are these fans compared to normal fans? Like, we don't know because they're detachable. I don't know. Interesting. So we'll see. I'd like to see a review of this. Talking about graphics cards, it seems like ASRock is like, if you want an AMD graphics card, they have the best deals. We have some of the deals listed, and I think some of them are even lower now than this since we posted this. So like the 7900 XTX, the 7900 XT, the 7900 GRE, and the 7800 and 7700 XT, ASRock has like the lowest prices that you can find. You can find these on both Amazon and Newegg. Four cards, like we've talked about this entire summer all the way till the end of the year, it's going to be discount time. It's going to be discount time for CPUs and GPUs. Perfect time to build a system, to be honest. Yeah. And ASRock has a bunch of different cards available, especially in their Challenger series. 7900 GRE, 7700 XT, 7800 XT. The Challenger is sort of like their baseline card, but it's like, again, it's been heavily discounted for graphics cards. Not like insanely discounted, but for when it comes to graphics cards, it has been discounted across the board, across the entire line. So if you are looking for an AMD graphics card, check out ASRock. They, like I said, from what we've seen, and again, we have links to everything. They do have the best price for all of these cards when it comes to like a standard card. So yeah, definitely check them out as well. We have Corey in the chat. Good to see you, Corey. So talking about AI, you know, we're hearing AI, we're AI everywhere. Gigabyte is actually releasing a motherboard for AI. It's not just called AI because it has some AI features. This board is designed so you can build a system to do all of your AI modeling. Okay. So it's part of their TRX line. This is their TRX 50 AI top motherboard. It has some really cool features. The biggest feature is that if you look at it, it supports four dual slot graphics cards down the line, which is great to see that. So you have all of that there. It also has surge protection built into the board, which is really cool as well. Because if you're doing these modeling, like, you don't want the system to something to happen. So that has all that built in the board. It is a big board, obviously made for Threadripper. You can see all of your DIMM slots here, all your DDR5 slots. So if you were like a more of a smaller sort of AI startup and, you know, you weren't necessarily buying, you know, getting these big data center type systems, you could build something, or even if you were like a novice and you wanted to kind of just mess around with doing different AI things, this would be a board that you could use. One, you have support for Threadripper processors. On top of that, you have room for multiple graphics cards to do that. I'm definitely a fan of it for those specific things. Lots of connectors, lots of fan connectors, pump connectors on here. Like I said, 10 gig LAN on there, Ryan. Yeah. You definitely like that. USB 4. Yeah.
It's a beast of a board.
I always wanted to build like a super high end board, like a super high end system like this, but like I would never get my money back.
Right.
Per se.
Right. you wouldn't utilize, like, you throw in 8 sticks of RAM, right? Like, you're never using it. It's just for looks. It's the wow factor, right?
Yeah.
In your case. But yeah, there's definitely a use case out there, like you said, for those AI creators to fully use this hardware.
Yeah. Just crazy. Wi-Fi 7 in here as well. Yep. Lots of awesome stuff. So yeah, really, like I said, really, really cool board. If, like I said, if you're wanting to build in a system for AI, this would be a board that you could definitely do it with. What do you think the total cost of a system? So say you get the highest end Threadripper, at least 128 gigs of RAM of DDR5.
Yeah, 128 seems
four graphics cards. 20K?
Oh, easy.
Yeah. Plus, you need a high-end power supply, like a 1600 watt. And you got
your drives, right? Like multiple, what, like 2 and 4 terabyte
M.2 drives. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, your power supply for this thing, if you've loaded it up with 4 GPUs and that board and CPU.
And you need a pretty high-end
case cooler.
Like a case that has good airflow and supports extended ATX and yeah, at least 20 grand on a system like that. So pretty, like I said, pretty cool to see. I love stuff like that. I just like with the same thing with like the ROG Ally that we always talk about. It's like, I love it.
It's cool, but yeah.
But I would never fully make use of it. Interesting case launch this week from Lee and Lee. They are, rightly so, nothing against Lee and Lee, but they have been milking the 011 dynamic, yeah. 011,
the 011
Evo. They've been milking this, and that's fine because they started it, and it is probably the best. Every other one like this is a copy, and it's not as high quality, in my opinion, from what I've seen. But they have a new 011. This is they've actually partnered with Lamborghini, which is a really cool partnership. It's the 011 Evo RGB Automobili Lamborghini case. So it has like, it's kind of hard to tell in these photos, but it's going to have like the carbon fiber accents throughout the Lamborghini logo back here. There's also a 5-inch LCD screen on the back that is sort of like, let's see if you can kind of see it here in this photo. It's like right back here, but it's mounted in the back of the case. And let me see if this actually
will show. For ADATA or ADA 64 info.
It has, yeah, I don't know if it's ADA 64 or it's just its own thing. So it's real carbon fiber. That's interesting. Real carbon fiber. And then the screen in the back sort of looks like a tachometer, where it shows like your temperatures and your speed, like your system speed and stuff like that. Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, it's cool. If you're like a Lamborghini fan and this is kind of what you wanted, it's going to be a lot more expensive than the original.
Yeah. Especially, that carbon fiber. That's pretty awesome though.
Yeah, pretty cool. Like I said, I think we always see like these partnerships when it comes to cases and some other products. This one I like. Some of the other ones I haven't liked. But this one, like I said, if you're a Lamborghini fan, it is pretty cool that you could essentially have an already themed Lamborghini system, and then you add your components, which would kind of match. And again, with RGB, you can match the colors that you want. And with the Lee and Lee fans, as you can kind of see here, like you could match the colors that you wanted on the case. And then these are the RGB accents at the top and bottom. So, yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool to see. I'm not sure if there's like price on this or not. If the Lee and Lee page would ever load, what the pricing would be. If I assume it's going to carry a premium, and the page is still not loading. So if it loads,
go back to it.
Yeah, we'll go back to it. But moving on from that, our last story of the night, and this is a sentimental one for me, but Counter-Strike, the beloved, most popular game on Steam, turned 25 today. I don't know if you ever played Counter-Strike or you're big into Counter-Strike.
I played a little 1.6 and then a little bit of Source when that came out. But I was never like, I'd never played it that much. I was always just Quake and Unreal.
Okay. So Counter-Strike, I did a little write-up on kind of the history of the game. Obviously, started as a mod to Half-Life. That's why, like, a lot of the old pictures, it says Half-Life Counter-Strike, because it was a mod for Half-Life. And that came out on June 19th, 1999. And the mod was only 8 megabytes. It just shows you how old it was. And here's the original, you know, what it looked like with these odds. Such a small photo too, because again, that's what
That's the resolution you had.
That's the resolutions we were running. So and then in the summer of 2000, Valve got involved and supported the development further, and then the official release of it was November 8th, 2000, called Counter-Strike 1.0. You could still get it as a free mod, but it could also be sold as a standalone title with training missions. And, you know, it just grew from there. Obviously, one of the big releases was 1.6, and then after that, Source, and there was a lot of people. I remember at the time, because I played a lot of Counter-Strike, it was like the 1.6 people didn't want to go to Source, and there was like a big feud of like which one was better and stuff like that. Obviously, last year, 2023, and we talked about it, Counter-Strike 2 came out. But it's still, one, it sort of defined like a generation of games where you had five players on each team, and you started on different sides of the map, and you had to fight over, you know, Counter-Strike was you had to plant the bomb and stuff like that. And there are games that are coming out that have come out just, you know, this year, last year, that have the exact same format.
Yep.
So it really defined like that whole generation of games.
And the loadouts, you know, like
getting
funds and not getting funds.
All that kind of stuff. And so many great Counter-Strike moments. It was, again, one of the first also like true online multiplayer game, team game. So that was like really cool for it as well. But it turns 25, man. And like you can see the little timeline that I put together here. Not, like I said, not all the things, but, you know, 1999, Counter-Strike, you know, came out. 2000, the standalone release. 2004, we got Counter-Strike Condition Zero and then Counter-Strike Source. 2008 was Counter-Strike Online. 2012 was Counter-Strike Go or Global Offensive. And then 2023, of course, Counter-Strike 2. But just today, I took this screenshot today. It's still the number one played game by current players playing on Steam, and right around 1 million people are online playing Counter-Strike right now. That's pretty crazy.
Okay, what is the stupid banana game? Isn't it just like you just click a banana?
I have no clue, but there's 800,000 people playing.
Exactly. I think you just click a banana. Sorry.
Maybe it's a kid's game.
No, it's there's a whole story on it.
Okay. But you can see like even Dota 2 is only at like 500,000 to 600,000, you know, PUBG, you know, same thing. It's like,
I'm surprised PUBG is still that hot, like number four.
A lot of people, like, that was like the game, that was the battle royale, was the first one.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of people have a lot of affinity for it. Just like Counter-Strike. So many people have an affinity for it. They like the play style. They like the mechanics of the game. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, I played it for a very long time. It was definitely a lot of fun. So pretty cool that it turns 25. Just means that we're getting older over here. It's cool to see a game too that was a mod turn into a insanely massive franchise, right? It's not often that you see something like that happen. So really, really cool to see that. So
surprised Team Fortress wasn't higher on that list. You know what I mean?
Yeah. TF2. That's such a fun game too. Yeah. I know Apex was like 9 or 10 on the list actually of active players on Steam. But just to give you Apex is a very much a new game. It was only like maxing out at like 200,000 people, where Counter-Strike was still at 1 million, which is crazy. So Old Man in the chat says there are videos about the banana game. The Spiffing Brit did a video about it. So I've never even heard of the banana game. I didn't even realize it when I took that screenshot this morning. So, but yeah, that is it for news for the week. Coming up next week, I'm taking a look at a graphics card. The XFX, I always try to say it fast and then I always mess up. XFX Radeon RX 7900 GRE. So that's a Golden Rabbit edition that, of course, is now here in America. So I'll be taking a look at that graphics card. We might have some other stuff. Check, also check like socials. We'll have some interesting social content coming out as well this upcoming week. So I got my new tripod. I'll be shooting a lot of interesting stuff there as well, too. So,
did you get another carbon fiber one?
No.
No?
Okay. I initially got the carbon fiber on the last one because I was like using it like in the field, like traveling and stuff. But right. Now I don't have it. I have like now I have the Osmo Pocket and I have like the GoPro is good enough that I don't really need like that, like a big tripod for a big camera in the field. So I just got an Lumen tripod. Okay. But carbon fiber is great. Super, super light. But unless you're considering taking it on the plane or something, like, and there are really, 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 really nice travel tripods now that are like amazing, but they're like $600-$700 and they're all carbon fiber and they're amazing. But for like a studio tripod, you really don't need carbon fiber. I would suggest almost all of the nicer, the Manfrottos, all the nicer tripods, there's a carbon fiber version and there's the aluminum. Save the money and get the aluminum if you're just going to use it in a studio or an office or something like that. And then if you're traveling, get a specific travel tripod. And every company and even the lower end companies like Newer and like PGY Tech has a really great travel. It's still like $300, but they're like made to, you know, compress down really small yeah. And they all have quick release plates and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm happy that I have a new tripod now. So yeah. Old Man in the chat also said, talking about free games, Redout 2 is free on Epic until tomorrow, till 10 a.m. So guys, that's what you do. You open up the Epic Games Launcher. You don't play any games.
You get the free game.
You get the free game and then you close.
That is the game, getting the new games.
Yeah, that's basically it. So talking about games, our question of the week this week, we always do a question of the week. If you guys do want us to answer a question, just shoot us a message on social media or Facebook or something like that. But our question of the week is talking about Counter-Strike, because Counter-Strike is one of the ones that I grew up on. But like, what was like a PC game that you grew up on, you know, like through high school, something like that, like you played all the time, like with your friends or some type of gaming? Like,
well, I didn't do any PC gaming until like college.
Oh, really?
When I was when I was like grade school and middle school, it was console, like Nintendo, the Genesis, the PlayStation, right? Those were like the three that we had growing up. So it wasn't until I moved out of the house and, you know, was on my own that I got into PC gaming. So for PC gaming, like the first big game that I played for like years was Soldier of Fortune 2.
Play that
competitively, a little, you know, semi-competitively, you know, doing tournaments against people and stuff online. And then like I'd have to go back to WoW again.
Oh, right?
I played it for years, you know, raiding multiple times a week and all that stuff. So
I was talking to somebody about video games the other day, and I was telling her, I was like, yeah, like I used to play video games like a lot. And I was like, yeah, like I used to play World of Warcraft and we would do these raids for like 8 hours. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, like staying up all night long doing this just to get the epic loot, you know, the drops and all that kind of stuff. You know,
yeah. And then like console wise, I played a lot of Gran Turismo and like
Tony Hawk. That was a fun game. Yep. Really fun game. Yeah. I think for me, Counter-Strike was a big one. Like one of my friends in high school, he used to come over and we used to play, like he would, like, you know, I only had one computer, but he would come over and then we would play, I'd play one round, then he would play the next round. And like, we would just switch playing Counter-Strike. So that was, and I played Counter-Strike competitively for a little bit. That was a lot of fun. It's just such a fun game because you're like, you're not just playing by yourself. You have a whole team and you need a strategy to.
Right. There's an objective. Yeah.
Yeah. Like two people go A, one person distracts at B. There's just like all that stuff. So Counter-Strike was obviously a big one for me. Unreal Tournament. I love that game. I think that was such a fun game. I played that competitively. I played against Fatality competitively. That's how we met.
Right.
So that was a lot of fun. And like I said, low grab, instagib, CTF was like one of my favorite game types of that game. It's just so fast paced and, you know, one shot kills. They should do something like that in Apex, like one shot kill, you know.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so frustrating.
With like a capture the flag sort of thing. It's like, oh, that would be so much
fun. I could take one shot kill if it was like snipers, right? But like anything else, everybody's gonna be dead so fast.
Yeah, that's what made it so fun. So like if you would play these maps and it would just be like in Unreal Tournament, when somebody like got shot with the instagib rifle, they would like blow up. There was just like body parts chunks just like everywhere. Going everywhere. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Old man in the chat said Doom was a classic PC game, but he played it on PlayStation 1, and he said I played Half-Life 2 on PlayStation. Half-Life 2 on PlayStation 2. That's interesting. I remember when Half-Life 2 came out, it was like you felt like you were in the game too. That was such a fun game. The story was
the only games I've finished. Like, I'm notorious for not finishing games, and that's one that I like had to play.
Yeah, you had to finish. I don't think we're ever going to have a game like that again. Just because, like, again, online gaming wasn't as popular, and like people's attention spans weren't as short either. Mm-hmm. So like having a game that you essentially played through, like, I don't think you're going to have a, you know, even if they so come good. Out with a Half-Life 3, it's not going to be the same as like the Half-Life 2 was just
so. Even just the, like the first starting where you're like in that almost like a train station, and like the, I always remember the, oh, what's the colony, the guys, like he like hits a plastic bottle like onto the ground and makes the guy pick it up, and you like felt like emotion with that. It was so weird. Yeah. It was yeah, so different.
Yeah, it's kind of sad too, because like game design now becomes like, how do we keep people on the game, and how do we have microtransactions, and how do we have an online component where people are continuing to come back? So
yeah,
but for like the games I grew up on, I would say Counter-Strike and Unreal Tournament, you know, were like the two big ones for me. Obviously, like I said, I played a lot of WoW, but that was a little bit later. I think that's about it.
Yeah.
Oh, I played a lot of like Warcraft 2 as well, like single player Warcraft 2. Mm. Before I convinced my parents to buy me a computer, well, computer for the family, but I mainly used it. But I would always go over to my one buddy's house that I played roller hockey with, and his parents had a computer, and we would play Warcraft 2. And again, it was so old, you had to put the CD in and play the game and stuff like that. So old man in the chat says, new games are so broken up by season passes, microtransaction deal. Yeah, it's just like, but that's where the money is, like, right? I mean, obviously we live in a capitalist society, and like, if you want a game to necessarily succeed, you need those sort of online components. Because when people, if it's a game where people just complete the game.
Right, then what?
Yeah, there has to be DLC. There has to be something to continue the game on. But yeah, just
like, well, but a lot of older games were like, quote unquote, harder, right? It was hard to beat the game. So you had to keep playing like maybe that same level over and over to finally get past it. Whereas now it's like, yeah, you just make it through, and then you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you go back and try to play some Nintendo games and you're like, good Lord, these are hard.
Yeah, a lot of the games are really, really hard. So that is it for our podcast this week, guys. We are going to jump over to Twitch. We're going to play in some Apex Legends over there, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan is going to have that stream up for you guys, playing some, both of us playing some very mediocre Apex, but we do have fun while we do it. So go ahead and go on over there. You know, and we'll be playing some Apex. So thanks everybody for coming out. We had, of course, Old Man in the chat, Corey in the chat, Nanda Builds in the chat as well. Thanks for all the questions. and all of the insight as well. And we will see everybody next week.